I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. What is going on, OTB Nation? Welcome into episode number 317 of the award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse pod on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB coming at you from the stew, from HQ, and Deej joining me as always. We got a lot to dive into from the NLL, recapping the week that was a wild short week in the NLL. We got a big ass week of games on deck. The playoffs and the schedule for the playoffs for the NLL have been announced. We'll talk about that. We got a little fun this or that type question with which member of the Buffalo Bandits has the most swag. We've got PLL retirements and extensions to talk about. And of course, Portal Jones will take us through the latest in the college game. But before we get into all of that, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/OTB LaxPod. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_nextgreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the motherfucking pod on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form, but those two in particular. Also, RIP Google Podcasts. So, if you listened on there, go jump over to Spotify. Go subscribe on Spotify. But subscribe to the pod and be a friend. Tell a friend. Let them know that we're the best goddamn lacrosse podcast on the planet and they should be subscribed to us. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. YouTube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show every single week. Full video episodes of every show on our network. Live streams, including our PLL College Draft extravaganza that will be happening on May 7th. That will be live on the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. You get full video episodes of every show on our network, original video content. It's all on our YouTube channel. We're at 752 subscribers. Let's get to 800. It's the month of April. I'm feeling some subscriber surging in the air. Let's get to 800 sooner rather than later. And, of course, subscribe to the Outside the Box podcast YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/@OTBLaxPod, which is where our Champ Series interviews are available to watch. Some original shorts content will be going up on there. And then all summer long when we're on the road, we'll be vlogging, and that'll be on the OTB channel. So go subscribe over there as well. And get your merch, phiapparel.co is the site to do it. Official OTB shirts, hoodies, working on getting some actual like new merch up soon. Hopefully the Duck logo will make its way to the merch store and get that bad boy up there for the people. And if you want to stand out in the crowd, whether you're going to an NLL game, PLL, college, whatever it may be, rocking OTB merch, or if you're a Philly sports fan, they got you covered from Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Union. And of course, all of your favorite Underground Sports Philadelphia podcasts. Go to phiapparel.co, and when you go to check out, use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off your merch orders. And through April 5th, use code OPENING DAY, and you get 20% off your merch orders. But anytime, anywhere, any place, code UNDERGROUND at phiapparel.co gets you 10% off your merch orders. What's popping, Coach Deej?
Just living the dream, bro. We got a week of practice, and then we're back to it. As you all are listening to this, next week will be three-game week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, doing the thing. It's a tough week for us. We have our two toughest conference opponents, but we should end the week on a win Saturday. So that at least is a nice note to go off of. But maybe we still won earlier in the week. That's very high hopes on that. I'm not confident in that, but it would be nice. Other than that, there's just been tons of good sports to watch. UFL, basketball.
This man led off with the UFL.
Hey, bro, listen.
That's how you know he's from the Midwest.
Hey, it's crazy, bro, right? Listen. Michigan football is on a whole nother level right now, bro. The Lions, good. NFC championship appearance. Michigan, national champions. Michigan Panthers, 64-yard game-winning field goal. Like, we are up right now, bro. Of course I'm a lead with the UFL. What you talking about? Just because the Philadelphia Stars got let go because y'all wasn't
terrible.
Ain't my fault.
Tragic.
It is kind of tragic. Especially y'all were sharing a home space with us.
And we went to the first championship game.
Little.
And in Philly fashion, lost that championship.
Little brother action there. You guys kind of brother team.
They swear they're us.
Oh, whoa. Hey. Slow the roll.
We share a podcast. We shared a stadium with our USFL squads.
They can't be like us, bro.
True. We got a lot to dive into with the NLL, and we'll kick it off recapping the week that was in week 18. Went a little something like this. Saskatchewan with a big 16-12 win on Thursday night. Lacrosse in Philly over the Wings. Saturday, the Wings dropped to Buffalo 18-12. Halifax tops Rochester 12-9, and Vancouver tops Las Vegas 12-9. Obviously, the biggest takeaways, the Wings had two games. I was at both. The Saskatchewan game, and the guy said it on Saturday too, like, the effort was just not there. It was a disgusting performance by them. Just not up to the standards and up to par of what you would expect from this Philadelphia Wings team. Saskatchewan they were just faster. They played with more just intensity, and it was so evident from the first moment of the game. The Wings just did not have it whatsoever. And then Saturday rolls around. They're in it with Buffalo, like they always are. Those two teams, no matter how good or bad either team is, they always play each other close. And for three quarters, it was a pretty close game. And it felt like, you know, the energy was back and then kind of just slipped away. A couple empty netters at the end to pump up Buffalo's score total there. But emotional press conference after that Buffalo game. Final home game of the regular season for the Wings. And first time in my 5 years of covering this team and the four seasons that we've actually had without any pandemic breaking in, that I've ever seen Paul Day get as emotional as he did. It was a heavy, heavy press conference. And, you know, you and I have been in press conferences together that have had some emotional moments. This one blew any of those moments out of the water in terms of just like the heaviness, the tone of it. You know, I'll pop the video in here for everybody who may have missed it that's watching on YouTube. But, you know, Paul's talking about just the way the game goes and the intensity factor, and starts to bring up how he has a 13-year-old son that plays sports, and it kind of just broke him. You know, hand covering the face, crying, and it was just like everyone in that room was kind of just like, do your thing. Like, we just kind of sat there in silence, let him work his way through it. But it was rough. And obviously, like, Paul Day is a friend of this program. He has been unbelievable to me in particular. not only just from a media standpoint, but just human to human standpoint. He is one of the greatest people that this sport has afforded me in a relationship with. And to see him kind of just break down and be on that emotional and vulnerable state was just rough. And you never want to see anybody that like you care about in that kind of state. And, you know, that's what a tumultuous up and down and just very difficult home schedule result will do to you. You know, the Wings went 1-8 at home this year. It's the worst record in franchise history of any Philadelphia National Lacrosse League team ever. Like that takes an emotional toll on you. And when that pressure is on your shoulders, and Paul talked about this too, like, you know, he said everyone in that locker room wants to win so badly for this organization, for the city, for the fans, that like you almost try to not make mistakes. And when you're doing that, that's when you make mistakes and you're playing tight, and it's been evident all year. And, you know, it got even more emotional when, you know, your players for the press conference are your captain, Blaze Reardon, Joe Resiteritz, and Mitch Jones, who are three of the faces of this team. And you have Mitch Jones up at the podium, like wiping back tears. You have Joe Resiteritz, like very like emotional, like talking about how Paul Day is the reason that all three of those guys are where they are right now in the NLL and why they're in Philly. And if there's anybody that this team has to go out on a high note for these final three games, it's for him. Now, I personally do not think it would be wise of the organization to make a reactionary move at the end of the year and fire somebody with the stature of Paul Day. I think it would just be a very reactionary move to do that. What I do think needs to happen, and after talking around and hearing some things, is Jeff McComb needs to go. And that's no disrespect to him as a coach, as a person, but from things I'm hearing and from just watching this team play with my own two eyes, whether it's at the Wells Fargo Center or at home on TV, this offense is not creative. And we talked about it last week. Like, there's just no creativity. It's stale. It's stagnant. It's been that way since last season when Jeff McComb came in as the offensive coordinator. It's time to make a move there. Like, this team is way too wildly talented offensively to be wasting the primes of Mitch Jones, Blaze Reardon, you know, the final years of the prime of Joe Resiteritz, of Ben McIntosh, of Holden Cotone, Tate Cotone, Sam LeClair. Like, these guys are way too talented to be on a team that right now is sitting at 5-10. And preseason, this was a team that many people had as like a top five team in the league, just based on this offense alone. And you're sitting with the second worst record in the entire league right now. And it's very evident that this team has a lot of issues scheme-wise. This team has a lot of issues, I think, on the defensive end, just in terms of roster construction-wise and not having enough physicality on the defensive end. And that's no slight to the guys that are on this roster. It's just like, you look at this team and some of the defenders on this team on a championship contender, like, you know, a Buffalo, a Toronto, a San Diego, Albany even, those guys are like fourth defenders on a roster that is built to win a championship. And then you're leaving a guy like Zach Higgins out to dry week in and week out. That guy deserves the ultimate pay raise for the season he had this year. It was a rough weekend at the Wells Fargo Center, to say the least. But if I had any say in it, and I know everyone online is so reactionary because it's the Philly thing to do, but I said it, I think, last week or the week before, like, this Wings team reminds me so much of the 2023 Philadelphia Eagles. Like, you have all of this unbelievable talent on the roster that can put up points, that can score, that can beat you in so many different ways. And yet you have a play caller from the Eagles' perspective, that's electing to throw wide receiver screens to Julio Jones, thinking that that's going to be an effective means of offense. And you have a team that's loaded with offense here, and your offensive scheme is to have them be 15 yards away from the goal, launching shots that have no rhyme or reason to even be let go of, and they're shooting them within the first 7 seconds of the shot clock. There's no possession, like, lengthening. There's no rhyme or reason to the offense. And to me, that just screams your offensive game planner has to go.
Yeah, it's almost like a dead horse for us at this point. It's mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate that from the sounds of it, he hasn't been able to adapt. Because obviously he has a very bright lacrosse mind already for what he was able to do in Saskatchewan. He's able to actually look at his system and make a few tweaks. I'm sure it will be just as good, if not better, than it was when he was in Saskatchewan. So it's I understand change is hard. So, like, I kind of sympathize with that point as well. Like, especially because he came up with this system, like, he doesn't really want to let it go. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's had success. So, like, I kind of see his point and, like, why he's feeling the way he is. But I just really hope they don't fire Paul. Because, like, sometimes it is warranted to fire the head coach. But I feel like not in this scenario. I feel like there's other ways to go about things. And maybe it's not even a firing scenario. Maybe it's just like a, hey, let's come up with a new system together. Or let's look at ways we can adapt this system together. And he stays around, but you work with him in a way to change things to better the offense. Like, there's other avenues other than simply just firing someone. But if you have to, I would suggest letting go of a coordinator rather mm-hmm. than your head coach, who has trust. The community backs him. Players absolutely love playing for him. He's been here for some time and understands not only what it's like to play in Philadelphia, but what it's like to be a Philadelphia wing. Those things are all important to coaching, and he has all those things. So I wouldn't jump that far as well, but that is 100% the reactionary thing to do. But I've never really been that way. Even before I became a coach, to me, it was always like the players. Not necessarily mm-hmm. like the players are the reason, but like, everything starts at the top, but that doesn't mean that everything is the top's fault. Like, you know, you see it all the time where, like, especially in lacrosse, a lot of assistant coaches at the D2, D3 level are responsible for running the box.
Mm-hmm.
Who's at fault for the subbing? The head coach or the assistant?
Right.
You could say the head coach because he's having the assistant do it, but the assistant is the one who's actually doing it. So right. It's things like that where you can go out and give your team a game plan. If they go out and not use it, that's not your fault. As mm-hmm. a coach, you prepared them for the game. They just didn't do what they were supposed to do. So it's just one of those scenarios where you really got to look at who's at fault and how do you handle the situation.
And I think if it was an issue with the players having, like, problems or, like, taking, you know, credence with the way Paul was coaching, I feel like they would not have been as vocal and as impassioned as they were in the press conference talking about him if there was an issue there. Those guys clearly love the ever-living fuck out of Paul Dey and want to win so badly for this city. And having talked to all three of those guys that were on that podium, you know, on and off pod, on and off press conference, like, they want to win for this city like no other. They want to bring home a championship to Philadelphia, and it means the world to them to put that jersey on their back. You know, you wouldn't have Joe Resiteritz electing to sign here in free agency if he didn't want to be here. You wouldn't have Mitch Jones moving his entire life across the country from Vancouver and relocating his entire living condition to Philadelphia if he didn't want to be in Philadelphia. You wouldn't have Blaze Reardon as the captain of your team if he didn't embrace Philadelphia from the moment he got here in 2018. Those guys want to win here so badly. And, like, even stepping out of, like, the media member space and just knowing those guys on a personal level, like, it hurts me seeing them, like, down like that. because those are the boys. Like, at the end of the day, like, you guys know we have, like, the media access and everything, and we're beyond grateful for that. But something we're, like, even more grateful for is, like, the bonds and relationships we've been able to form with coaches, players, personnel, staff members, front office people. Like, that means the world to DJ and I more than anything. And, like, those guys have become, like, actual friends, and, like, we care about those dudes, and seeing them down fucking sucks, and we want them to succeed no matter what. And especially for me being in Philly, like, I want my boys to fucking put on for our city and go shock the world. I feel like these final three games are going to be very important for the Wings for a lot of reasons, but I do think they're going to play with a sense of, like, even more passion and even more just, like, looseness than what they have been, because there really is nothing to lose on the line for them where they sit now. So I think they're going to just play loose and go out there and spoil some seasons, go and spoil something for Panther City, go and make their draft pick better against Colorado that they acquired in the Taggart Clark trade, go and spoil something for Rochester seating wise. Like, there's opportunity for them to take away small victories from these final three games. And I think they have the guys in that locker room to do it. But it just sucks seeing, you know, kind of a season go by the wayside like this and result in at best 8-10.
Please enter on a high note and beat Panther City, please. That would make me a certified Roughnecks fan extremely happy. Especially if they go 0-2 this weekend, which could happen.
Definitely.
Hey, if the Wings win,
they got to get their lick back for Panther City beating them earlier in the year.
I would like that. I'm just saying. Because I think San Diego's got it in the back.
Also, Seals, speaking of, new friends of the pod, that Seals baseball jersey.
I didn't see it.
Fam, I'm gonna send you I need your live reaction to it right now. They did something with that, and my goodness, at Seals Lax admin, if you can hook the boys up, we will rock the ever living hell out of those bad boys. I'm sending you this tweet because all three of these pieces of merch are clean. And Trey LeClaire, Trevor, and Danny Logan did a phenomenal job modeling them, by the way. And Westberg. Tell me those are not some clean-ass springtime fits that the boys are putting on.
Let me get that button up.
I need that baseball jersey, bro.
Let me get that button up.
That Seals Lax. The boys
talk to your boys.
Boys, we're out here.
And if you can find a way to, I know one of y'all knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody knows somebody that can get me a cheap place to live out there. I'll move.
Hook the boys up. I mean, look at all the friends of the pod on the Seals roster too. Trevor, mm-hmm. KJ47. Curtis Dixon. I mean, the boys are endless. Future guest Trey LeClaire, future guest Danny Logan, Eli Gobrek on the squad.
Big Eli vibes.
Like, Seals got a bunch of dogs on that team, bro. They're gonna be fun in the playoffs too, and I would gladly rep that Seals baseball jersey. If it was sent to me. At Seals Lax, hit our line. Hit our line.
I'll even take pictures in.
I'll pay for the shipping.
I definitely would prefer not to, but I will.
I'll do it. If it needs to be done, I'll do it.
It needs to be done, I will absolutely do it.
Here's what the NLL standings look like after week 18. Deej, Toronto in first place at 12-3, San Diego in second place at 11-4, and the newly playoff clinched Albany Firewolves, and this week will be the Albany Attack, are in the playoffs at 10-5. What a turnaround for Albany to go from the basement to the postseason in a season is unbelievable for them. Like, kudos to Glenn Clark and the whole coaching staff. Kudos to that entire roster. You know, you go through your captain retiring, which shout out Brett Manny. They're having his retirement ceremony this weekend. Shout out to the boy. You have Kieran McArdle retire. And it's like, okay, who's going to step up and be like veteran leader on this team? And Joe Nardella and the boys, Alex Simmons, Ethan Walker, them boys have stepped up in a big way and have been so impressive this year. Congrats to Albany.
Yeah, I definitely didn't see it coming. I had them having a better season than they had last year, but not, you know, second team to punch their ticket into the playoffs. And, you know, they're rocking and rolling and have kind of been all year. Their five losses weren't terrible losses. They were all very close games as well. So I'm very excited to see them in the playoffs and kind of, you know, see what they decide to do.
You know, it's even crazier. This team made the playoffs and, like, have been really fun to watch. And next season, they get to add Dyson Williams to that.
I remember.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Redacted is 9-7. They're in fourth place via tiebreaker. Halifax also 9-7. Buffalo at 8-7. Panther City at 7-7. And your 8 seed, New York Riptide, at 7-8. And then Saskatchewan, Calgary, Rochester, all at 6-8. And welcome to the postseason conversation on the outside looking in. But those Vancouver Warriors are not going away quietly. They're 6-9. Colorado 5-9. Philly is 5-10. And Las Vegas is 4-11. And have officially been eliminated from postseason contention. RIP to our league pass team.
Yep. That one hurts.
It sucks.
That one hurts.
We'll do better next year, guys. We'll do better next year.
Maybe.
But moving right along to week 19, Deej, in the NLL, it is a loaded week. We have Friday night lacrosse, Saturday lacrosse, and Sunday afternoon lacrosse. It kicks off at 9 p.m. Eastern time with the Teal Turf as Calgary hosts Saskatchewan. Big time game on deck to keep postseason dreams alive. Then also at 9 Eastern time, Buffalo goes to Colorado for a rematch of the finals the past two seasons. And then Panther City at San Diego at 10 Eastern time. And then also 10 Eastern time, Halifax at Vancouver. Big time playoff implication game for Vancouver and Halifax at that. And then Saturday, we've got New York at Rochester, another big playoff implication game. Toronto at Albany, some seeding implications there. Vegas at Redacted at 7:30 Eastern time on Saturday. And then it's a home and home for you in Saskatchewan. Calgary at Saskatchewan at 9 Eastern time on Saturday. And then on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time, Philly at Panther City. What you most looking forward to this week?
This one's obviously self-explanatory for me. It's the back-to-back doubleheader. Home and home, we got to win them both. That puts us at 8-8. That would put Saskatchewan at 6-10. I would personally love that. And I would love two losses for Panther City. That would put them at 7-9.
Mm-hmm. On their Jeff Fisher grind.
Which would, you know, make us in the playoffs. Ooh. But yeah, also obviously going to be watching that Panther City San Diego game. Toronto Albany is going to be fun. That is a possible championship or maybe semifinal matchup, that kind of thing with the unified standings here. So The rest of these games are kind of cookie cutter. I guess I'll also be watching Philly Panther City pretty closely, especially if Panther City loses to San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of fun games this week. A lot, like most of these games have some sort of implications for the playoffs, which is very fun in this final month of the season here. You know, a lot of standings can be shifted. Playoff tickets could be potentially earned, lost in between. But it is a loaded week. It's 9 games this weekend. It's going to be absolutely insane. And speaking of playoffs, the 2024 NLL playoff schedule has also been announced. STJ is ready for them.
Yeah, bro. I didn't know Bronny reopened his recruitment like this for real.
Oh, yeah. He entered the portal.
This is crazy. My bad, y'all. I just
Bronny to the NLL hashtag.
That boy would get flattened out there.
The 2024 NLL playoffs schedule has been announced. It opens April 25th to the 28th. We are like 3 weeks away from the playoffs, Deej. That's crazy.
He finna go to Ohio State. That shit pisses me off. Yeah, we are. It's so close. It is so close. I'm honestly pretty excited. Like, as teams really start to, you know, solidify their spots in the playoffs, you're starting to think about matchups and where teams are going to fall, who's going to play. This thing's going to be blockbuster.
So here are the details. The top four seeds will have home games, and the quarterfinals are single elimination. So it's just one game. Survive in advance, and there's no reseeding for this either. So it's just a true bracket style format, single elimination quarterfinals that will be held between Thursday, April 25th and Sunday, April 27th at the home sites of the number 1 through 4 seeds hosting 8 through 5 respectively. And then it is a best of 3 semifinals, which will commence on Thursday, May 2nd through Sunday, May 5th and continue Thursday, May 9th through Sunday, May 12th. Then best of 3 NLL finals, which are scheduled Thursday, May 16th through Sunday, May 19th, and Thursday, May 23rd through Sunday, May 26th. Additionally, should both semifinal series end in 2 games, the league may move the 2024 NLL finals up to the preceding week. So could bump them up if all of them end in 2-1. Very excited for the playoffs. Full schedule will be released when the regular season concludes on April 21st. But the other exciting part is there is no overlap with the NLL finals and the beginning of the PLL season.
I think there's another exciting part. We will most likely do an NLL OTB cast.
Oh, 100%.
Because we'll already be in the same space.
100%. Which will be super exciting.
That's going to be so dope. Lock it in. Get ready. It's coming. The weekend, May 24th. You better be available.
Plus, that's Memorial Day weekend.
That's the whole point. Better be available. Nothing but lacrosse should be on your mind.
I'm just happy for the players in this sense that play both NLL and PLL that don't have to worry about the overlap if their team gets there, which is great for the players. It's great for the leagues, and it's great for the fans overall because you're not going to miss out on guys. And even if you do, it'll be for a week at most. It's just good vibes there. I'm very excited that is the case this year. You know, we've gone from extreme overlap to a week of overlap to now nothing in a matter of 3 seasons. It's a great job by the NLL.
Yeah, and I mean, I imagine we get lucky and they're able to move that up. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility guys don't miss any time at all because they're able to take, you know, a week. before they got to go into to play in the following week.
So it's very exciting. The other thing I was looking at too, you know, it's going to be wild if Rochester somehow ends up in the playoffs and Panther City somehow ends up in the playoffs. All three of the Back of the Bird boys will be in the postseason and have a chance to match up against each other.
With all due respect, I have to root against that.
You know how crazy that would be?
Until my Roughnecks are out, I'm not going to talk about that. But that would be wild.
Wild.
That is what I'll say for now. That would be wild.
Also, I had a great discussion with friend of the program, Adam Levy, in the press box at the Wells Fargo Center on Saturday. And he brought up a very fun question about two friends of the program, Josh Byrne, Chase Frazier. Who has more swag? And it's brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. You want to look swaggy? Tomahawk Shades can do that for you. From sunglasses to blue light glasses to prescription lenses, Tomahawk Shades are the best in the game. They've been rocking with us for years now. The quality of Tomahawk Shades sunglasses and blue light glasses are honestly better than these big eyewear companies, and they are for a fraction of the price. You are going to get high quality, like, eyewear for literally like an eighth of the price of these big eyewear companies, sometimes even a tenth of the price. I wear the sunglasses when I'm outside traveling all the time. Deej wears them on the sidelines. I'm wearing the blue light glasses when I'm editing, when I'm watching lacrosse on TV. You guys should be doing the same thing. Get styling and profiling. Turn your swag on. Go to TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store, Google Play Store. And when you go to check out, when your cart's all filled to the brims, use code USP and you get 25% off your order from our friends at Tomahawk Shades. They're the best. 25% off is a massive discount. Use that bad boy. TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app and use code USP at checkout for 25% off your order. Who's got more swag, Deej? Josh Byrne or Chase Frazier? It's a fun question because both guys are oozing with swag in what I think you and I both believe in two totally different terminologies of the word. You didn't like that word, huh?
No. No, not at all. I feel like there's so many other words you could have used.
I digress. I told Adam that Chase has like the common man swag, where it's relatable. You can kind of see a little bit of Chase Frazier in yourself, if that makes sense. You know, the way that he kind of carries himself, he's very approachable. He's your favorite player's favorite player. And we've been on the Chase Frazier hype train since the beginning. Where I said Josh Byrne, again, phenomenal person, in our opinion, very approachable, very cool, calm, collected, like very mellow. But the way that he carries himself, it's almost like a celebrity type of swag where it's like you're kind of nervous to approach Josh if you see him. But when you approach him, he's the nicest human alive. And he carries himself like a celebrity, which he should. He's one of the best fucking lacrosse players on the planet. He's a Buffalo icon. And he carries himself as such. And I have no issues with that whatsoever. But I think they both have elite levels of swag, just in different variations of the word.
You know, we talked about this a little bit pre-pod, and I explained to you what I call pop-pop swag or a click-click swag. Everybody who's played a helmet sport knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's that moment where you hear the two clicks of your helmet and you lock in. Whatever sport it is, you're there, you're doing it, giving your all, you're out of there. when Chase puts on a helmet and hears click, click, he turns into a completely different monster.
It's like Eddie Brock and Venom.
Yeah, and then he takes it off. Normal person. Probably the most normal person you can meet. Crazy. Josh, it just doesn't turn off. Dude's just always in click, click mode. It's wild. But, like, really nice dude. Super chill. Absolutely nothing bothers him.
Great storyteller.
Get him on the field, and he's just a menace. It's absolutely insane.
His purple shoes that he wore on Saturday were so nice. Like, you knew exactly where he was on the floor, and they fit so perfectly with the jerseys that the Bandits were wearing. I was like, this fucking guy is the coolest human ever.
Well,
you know, I don't know what they were, because it was like a purple that like isn't like a traditional purple you see on shoes. It was like a almost like a lilac purple. I was like, he's so fucking cool.
That is pretty cool, actually. Those are really clean.
I gotta find like a highlight, like one of the highlights that the Bandits posted from the game and send it to you, because I was like, these are fucking clean, and like you could just see them perfectly from the press box at the Wells Fargo Center because it's that sky view. It's like, oh, there's Josh. But yeah, they both have sweat. And like Dane has like a similar type of vibe to Josh, but also has a similar type of vibe to Chase. That whole team is just swag on a million. Like every player on that team has like a way that they carry themselves that is filled with swagger. And I think part of it for at least some of those guys is just Andy Towers, because it's one of his four pillars of Chaos Lacrosse Club. But I also said this too, and tell me if I'm wrong, because the Bandits, you know, in that game against the Wings, they were popping some empty netters towards the end of the game where it was like, it didn't matter. The Wings were not coming back, and it was like probably like 2 minutes left maybe, and they were up by six, and then they end up, or no, they were up by four and end up winning by six. I was like, that's Andy Towers in those guys' brains. And Josh and Dane and Chase and Ian and Klooch, like, echoing that in that Bandits locker room, because score differential in the PLL is king, as we all know. And now with unified standings and where the Bandits are in the standings, score differential is going to matter. Well, and Adam Levy was telling me, he was like, it's kind of a little unnecessary. I was like, not for where the Bandits are in the standings right now. Because at the end of the day, depending on where some of these teams that are around them, which, you know, the Panther Cities, Halifax, Redacted, all in that range, score differential could come into play, and those empty net goals that the Bandits scored against the Wings could be a factor. And I was like, no, that's smart lacrosse by those guys.
I think it's lost on NLL media, because it's new, but I think everybody's kind of been playing that way. There's been quite a bit of empty netters. You see goalies kind of really aiming for the empty netters now when they throw it out. Like, I feel like it's been a conversation in a lot of locker rooms. Like, hey, like, yeah, sure, we won the game, but like, we need to find a way to make sure that we're locking up all tiebreakers. It's not just beating a team anymore. You know, we got to beat that team, and we need to have beat that team by five. Like, it's kind of just changing the way lacrosse is looked at, and I think that's a great thing in both standpoints, the PLL and the NLL, because you're getting a better product, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, guys are trying to score every time they have the ball. There's no wait it out, take the shot clock, no wait it out, dump it. It's, we want to score every time we have it.
Yeah. So that was fun. And I just looked, too, like, Buffalo's got a plus +7 score differential. Redacted has a plus +2. And Panther City has plus +3. Could come into play, you know, down the stretch here with the final 3-4 games of the year, depending on how records end up. So great move by them. And I think that was like Andy Towers, like in their heads a little bit at the end there, just doing his typical scream in their ears. It's like, oh, you gotta score.
You're just glazing right now.
Chill on me. He still hasn't signed a contract or announced a retirement. I can't glaze.
Bro, I'm not doing this with you, bro.
This is what happens when we're back to our late night recording.
We need to get off this. we don't need to do this no more.
Let's feed some ducks and head over to the pick pod. It is the NLL Week 19 Picks of the Week, brought to you by Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia, and of course the Outside the Box podcast. It's a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, only 120 calories, and just 8 grams of carbs. Go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenny's on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. You can also get it at your local liquor stores in those markets. Also, check out the Kenny storefront. Get those awesome pint glasses, Kenwood Beer apparel. They're the best. Kenwood Beer is amazing. Simply the best, and we appreciate the hell out of them. Kenwoodbeer.com. Must be 21 or older to do so. And of course, please drink responsibly. Deej, we start at the Teal Turf in Calgary. Saskatchewan versus your Roughnecks. Saskatoon kind of playing on a little heater right now. Playing some good lacrosse. Calgary playing some good lacrosse. It's going to be a great game, and it's going to be a great weekend with this matchup happening twice. How do you see things kicking off for your Roughnecks?
It don't matter because we own the Teal. So it's going to get real and we're going to close the deal. Calgary info. No, no.
This fucking guy trying to come at me.
I'm definitely taking my
Roughnecks. Out here with these kindergarten bars.
Listen, I'm out with my Roughnecks, dog. No way we lose this one.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be very back and forth, but I think the Roughnecks get it done at home. I think we're both in agreement on the next game. Buffalo's getting a dub in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Easy sauce. I don't know
why you asked me that.
Are we both on the same page with the next game, and San Diego's going to get a dub at home over Panther City?
Yeah. I'm going to be watching this one close. San Diego. We need some of that pod love to keep coming through.
Facts. Them boys been on a heater since they followed the pod, so shout out to San Diego. And hey, we'd look fucking sick in those baseball jerseys, just a reminder. I'm intrigued by this other game happening at 10 o'clock on Friday night. Halifax-Vancouver. Both teams playing very good lacrosse right now. I think this is going to be very physical. I think this is going to be both teams need to be on their mental P's and Q's for this one. Like, you can't let it get out of hand. You can't end up, you know, in the penalty box too much on a lopsided affair. Like, you got to be on your P's and Q's in this game, especially if you're Vancouver. I'm going to go with Halifax, but I think this game's going to be super close and super entertaining from start to finish.
I don't like Halifax being on the road for this because Vancouver's been rolling low key recently. But Halifax knows they have to keep pace with Buffalo. And I'll take Halifax in this one.
So 48-18, we did so good last week. We didn't mention their name once.
Really?
Really? I was surprised.
I think it's because I didn't play.
That too.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Saturday slate gets kicked off in Rochester between the Riptide and the Nighthawks. Genuinely, Nighthawks offense kind of been sputtering lately. But the last time we said that was when they started going on that heater and we're putting up like 18 goals a game. With that being said, New York has an MVP candidate on their team and has been putting the squad on his back. So I'm going to rock with the Riptide on the road. Both teams need it.
This one's hard. Yeah, not because they need it, but because I need it for Calgary.
This is a tough game.
I would love for the Riptide to lose this game. But I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I think the Riptide win this one too.
Then we move to arguably game of the week. Toronto at Albany. Great face-off matchup. TD versus Joey Nards. I just think Toronto has so much firepower that it's going to be so difficult to stop them. So I got to go with the Rock on the road.
We saw this once in Toronto already, correct?
I believe so.
I believe Toronto made that look pretty easy. I am taking a look.
And if I'm not mistaken, when that game happened, Tom Schreiber was still out.
I do believe so. They played. They have not played yet this year.
No.
No.
I'm double checking everything. I thought they played. Me too. Could be wrong.
We are definitely wrong. This is the first time they play. But with that being said, Toronto has pretty much walked through everybody else, so I don't expect Albany to be too different.
I think it'll be a close one. Like, a couple of the games against the top dogs for Toronto have been close games for them. You know, 11-9 against Halifax, 12-9 against Redacted. They lost to Buffalo twice. They were close with your Roughnecks, 9-7. Your Roughnecks beat them, 11-10.
Yep.
15-13, they beat San Diego. So, like, the top teams, 9-8 against Halifax in their last game, they win. So, like, some of these top teams, like, they win, but they play them close, which is kind of how I feel this game will also go. It's going to be a very entertaining game. I'm very excited for this one. Well, like we both said, I think Toronto's got the upper hand. Plus, they arguably have goalie MVP candidate, definitely goalie of the year candidate in Rosie. So we'll both take Toronto there. And then moving to Vegas versus Redacted at 7:30 p.m. down in Redacted. I said I wasn't going to pick them.
But you kind of have no choice. Unless you're really feeling that tough about it. You going to stand on your word for real?
Yeah, I'm going to stand on my word. I hope Vegas goes out and rips them.
Thank you. You just gave me a definite win on the week.
Because the cool part with this game, while I think Redacted more than likely wins, Vegas has nothing to play for now. Other than vibes and playing spoiler the rest of the season. So why not, you know? Go down, play against the playoff team, kind of gauge where you guys are now and test some things out against a team that's more than likely going to be in the playoffs. I'm going to take Vegas. Would love them to win. I doubt they will. But crazier things have happened in this league, so we'll see what happens, but I'm going to stand on business. I said I wasn't going to pick them until they followed. So give me Las Vegas. Deej, you have Redacted. And then we move to the nightcap on Saturday. The rematch, quick turnaround in Saskatchewan this time from the teal turf to the neon green. It's tough to beat a team twice. It's tough to win twice in a weekend. Do your Roughnecks have what it takes, Deej, to get the job done and sweep the doubleheader?
I think after seeing some other things go their way, either in the locker room, on the flight, while they're at home, whatever, I think they're going to be able to pull this one out and go 2-0 on the weekend and put themselves in a position to either be in the current playoff picture if it started at the end of the week, or at least literally on the doorstep.
Having seen Saskatchewan in person this past week, they play so fast, and it's very fun to watch. We've got some super talented, like, young guys on that roster. Like we've said all year, it's tough to win two games in a weekend. I think Calgary has the ability to do it, but I'm going to go with Saskatchewan and get the split and just keep the playoff picture extremely interesting going down the stretch. Final game, 4 p.m. Eastern time. In Panther City, my Wings taking on Panther City. I'm going to go with the Wings to get a revenge dub against Panther City and get the horses in line down the stretch here and go out and play passion-filled lacrosse on Sunday afternoon. So give me the Wings.
I'm going to go pure vibes here, and because I really need it from one of these teams out here this week. I don't know why I feel most confident to do it in this one, but I'm going to take the Wings over Panther City because we could use a two-loss weekend from Panther City.
So our picks look like this. We both have Calgary, Buffalo, San Diego, Halifax, New York, Toronto. I got Vegas. You've got Redacted. I've got Saskatchewan. You've got Calgary. And we both got the Wings. And those are your Week 19 Picks of the Week in the NLL, brought to you by Kenwood Beer. Moving right along, Deej, to the PLL. It is brought to you by our app code on the PLL app. Download the PLL app, guys, in the App Store, Google Play Store, and go to the redeem code section if you have not already created an account. Create an account, and then go to the redeem code section. Type in OTBPOD, OTB pod, and you're going to get 500 XP in your account on the PLL app. It's an instant boost if you have a brand new account. You're going to go from level 1 to level 2. Get yourself right up. I got to reach out to the PLL pretty soon, actually, with the season right around the corner. We got to get a fantasy group on the app for us. But download the PLL app. Deej and I use that app literally for so much. It is a lifesaver, a godsend for us as creators, and can only imagine, just as a common like fan, how useful it is to keep up with your favorite team. News right up to the minute. Push notifications are essential in the PLL app. You get everything in a one-stop shop. So download the PLL app, use code OTBPOD in the redeem code section, and get 500 XP on your account. PLL free agency has carried on. Deej, friend of the program, multi-time guest, recurring guest Joe Nardella, gets a nice little extension from those Maryland Whipsnakes through 2026. Shout out to the boy. Excited to see him back out on a PLL field this season following his knee surgery. And then we've also had some big-time retirements across the PLL. And shout out to our guy, the PLL Pipeline, Chase, our intern, newest member of OTB. He's been dialed, bro. He's been dialed, keeping up with everything. It's been such a godsend for us. John Sexton has announced his retirement from professional lacrosse. Long time, only time Redwood. Only played for the Green. And John Sexton, I think you saw a lot of people come out and say, and we've talked about a ton on this pod, how he is like one of the most underrated players and like almost underappreciated players over the past 5 years in the PLL, and what he does for that Redwoods team on and off the field is huge, and it's going to be a missed presence for them just as a leader. But what a fucking career for John Sexton.
He was one of the first polls I was graced to watch it. I mean, growing up in the Midwest, Notre Dame is one of the few teams that like everybody pays attention to. They're kind of that staple team in the area to kind of look at. So when I was first getting introduced, I knew Matt Landis, John Sexton, Nick Osello, Scotty Rogers, you know, Kavanaugh's. Those are the guys I was introduced to first, and then it spread out to the and Serge, you know, Sergio Perkovic was there as well. Like, and then it spread out to, you know, Miles Jones and Lyle and Blaze, like all these other guys as you know, I got to branch out and got into the game myself. But John was one of the first polls I watched, and his game was so consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even going back to like some of his high school film, like he's played the same game since high school and he's efficient at it. And you knew what you were getting out of John Sexton every time he stepped on the field. And that was just good play, you know, ferocious on D, great communicator, and he was all over the ground ball. And, you know, he gave you a slight option in the transition if it was there. But overall, just a very smart lacrosse player who was there to give his all. And, you know, not only for himself, but for his teammates. It sucks seeing so many guys that, like, I was first coming into, you know, the sport, seeing, you know, them kind of on their way out. It's really, it's making me feel old, man.
Yeah, shout out to John Sexton, man. He was so fun to watch. And, you know, covering the PLO from the jump for me, you know, he was just so, like, entertaining from a guy who probably never got as much credit as he deserved for everything he did on the field. So shout out to John Sexton. Also another extension for the Maryland Whipsnakes, Matt Dunn, signed through 2026, locking up the defensive captain there for the Whips. But also, speaking of captains, the long-awaited news has finally come that we have been anticipating for quite some time, and that is the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Earhart, is retiring. A decorated career from start to finish. He is a player that grew on me big time from just a, like, media to player relationship type wise situation, where early on it was tough to get anything out of Michael Earhart in a press conference. But as the years went on, I loved having Michael Earhart in a press conference because he was so open and honest. And as he got older, he became more of, like, a wise veteran leader and was willing to share more with the media. And I appreciate and respect the ever living hell out of Michael Earhart. It has been a true, like, privilege to cover his career the last 5 years. And man, is that a giant hole in that Whipsnakes locker room and on the field for them, because that's like an irreplaceable leader that you have to try to fill the shoes for, and it's damn near impossible to fill the shoes to the magnitude of what Michael Earhart has done for that Whipsnakes organization over the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet moment because, like, once again, a guy that, like, I saw toward the beginning of my lacrosse time, and he just completely transformed games by himself. And we haven't really seen an LSM play like him ever. And, you know, guys have been trying to emulate him for years now, and they're just not as good as he is. So it's one of those losses that kind of just hits a little differently. But, man, like, it's going to be nice, you know, to see somebody else win an award, to see Colin Squires.
Only player to win the Brody Merrill LSM of the Year award.
Yeah, and maybe it gets named after him at some point as well. So that would be cool. But also, like, it's going to be cool to see Colin Squires get in and kind of take up that role and be the number one LSM there and kind of have a guy behind him that can learn from him. So there's a lot of good things that come out of this. Maybe Mike starts to coach, which would be awesome. So, like, there's just so many good things that can come out of this, but it's still a lot of bitterness and watching him go away from the game. And I guess I can't forget the best part is the Whipsnakes are arguably not as good now, which means the Redwoods have a very solid chance of beating them. So it's really bittersweet because the game is always better with Michael Earhart around, but I'm not upset to see him go at the same time. Selfishly, as a fan of certain teams.
As a media member, it sucks.
Yes.
Because he's just, like, such a...
Yeah, like you mentioned, he got a lot better as it became a little more normal for him to kind of come in and talk. He really opened up about his self-performance. He opened up about team performance, locker room. Personal, like, just a lot, and really kind of started to build that bond with a lot of us in the media world too. So very appreciative of a guy kind of coming around.
And Staggs's Instagram post talking about Mike was just the perfect, like, if you need to know about Michael Earhart, it gets fully embodied through that. And we kind of saw, like, in that final press conference after the Whipsnakes lost in the postseason, Staggs talking about how that team was going to look different next year. And, you know, Michael Earhart kind of like hinting at retirement a little bit and didn't know if he would be back. So very privileged and very fortunate to have been a part of covering such a prolific and future Hall of Fame career that was 28 for the Whipsnakes in Michael Earhart. The other big news, Deej, that we didn't get to talk about because we had to record early last week. Philadelphia's got a new coach, Bill Tierney, named head coach and GM of the Philadelphia Water Dogs. I have been chomping at the bit to talk about this. And of course, it happened as soon as we were done recording almost a 2.5 hour episode last week. So we couldn't even like go back in and like properly do it justice. Kind of a surprise by many that Coach Tierney got the nod. With just the candidates that were named. I'm not mad about it whatsoever. I think it's a great hire. I know it was announced it is a multi-year agreement. And the alleged coaches that are coming with him, pretty, pretty cool. Welcome out of retirement, Tucker Durkin. Tucker Durkin, the alleged defensive coordinator for Coach Tierney, which I love for this Water Dogs defense. What a hire to bring in such a legendary coach who has won at every level except the pro level to this point. Obviously, iconic college coach. Now he's getting the shot at the pro game. Obviously has the previous relationship with Jack Hanna, Ethan Walker. I think Michael Sauer's Instagram posts about it summed it up perfectly, and it was just the Idris Elba. I want you to put the word out there that we back up. We back up. And I love Coach Tierney's quotes, you know, talking about how the Water Dogs have been known to be, you know, the staple and like the marquee type of franchise that you want to kind of resemble in the PLL over the past couple of seasons. And he's just here to continue that success. He's not trying to change much. He is here to help continue the Water Dogs success that they've had over the past few seasons. I'm excited. I don't know if I told you this, Deej. We're in talks and working on scheduling Coach Tierney for main pod and this pod. So Coach Tierney should be coming on the show soon.
So, you know, that's light work.
I'm excited to talk to him.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome, dude. Are you kidding me?
Like
I now a lot of people don't know this, but like I was going to do a video project on like lacrosse and like just talk to like different coaches at the D1 level about lacrosse and like how it was recruiting and putting together a practice plan and you know, season and travel and all that stuff. I reached out to Bill by email and he responded back to me and was like, if we're able to find a time that works, I'm down. And I was like, excuse me?
You got to bring that up when he comes on.
He might not remember, dude. This exactly. Is like, I barely
jog remember. The memory, though.
I barely remember. This was like 6 years ago.
Could you imagine if he remembers, though?
Yeah, dude.
That's why you got to bring it up.
I'd pass out if he remembers. Are you kidding me?
That'd be so cool.
Oh, my God. That'd be insanely cool. Kevin Corrigan responded, too. Yeah, bro. That was going to be a wild video if I could have been able to figure it out, dude. I'm kind of upset I couldn't. That was going to be crazy. But yeah, no, I'm excited to talk to him. And not even tinfoil hat kind of thing, just crazy hot take. They signed Bill and not someone else because this was a short-term move for both sides. I don't think Bill coaches for long. And I think Joe Spallina wanted to finish what he had going at Stony Brook and wanted to wait until his contract is up there instead of leaving in the middle of it. And that's why we got Bill Tierney. And Joe will come over when his contract's up with Stony Brook.
Yeah, I mean,
which is going to be right around the time Lil Joey is draft eligible.
We talked about it when it happened because I was like surprised just based on Coach Tierney's age alone. Like, he's going to be 72 in September. And I was like, how long does he want to coach, you know, at his age? It's a multi-year agreement, which I'm excited about, that it's not going to be just a one and done type situation. I think the coaching staff that is rumored to be coming with Coach Tierney, which is Tucker Durkin as the defensive coordinator and Dylan Sheridan as the offensive coordinator, who I'm not too familiar with. But I know a lot of people, when I brought up that rumor, that those are the guys, they were very excited. Do you know much about Dylan Sheridan?
I don't, actually. Surprising.
Apparently played at Denver. Has not tweeted since 2021, but he's from Ohio, according to his Twitter account, from Hudson, Ohio. But that is the alleged duo for Coach Tierney. And, I mean, Tucker Durkin alone, like, excites me as a defensive coordinator, along with Coach Tierney. He's kind of just like, he's a hard ass, or at least comes off that way. You know, he's got that demeanor about him. And then Tucker Durkin coming in fresh off of retiring to coach that Water Dogs defense that you and I have talked about a ton and everyone talks about, is one of, if not arguably, the best defensive core in the PLL. To add Tucker Durkin's brain to that room is so exciting. And I know you as a defensive guy have to be like unbelievably excited about like seeing what Tucker can cook up as a defensive coach with those guys. It's an exciting time. Like, if you're a Water Dogs fan, or you're just getting in because they're in Philly and it's like, oh, new team to root for, be very excited about this coaching staff. And like we mentioned when it happened, it's massive shoes to fill for Cope and that coaching staff that he had. But I think if you were going to attempt to do it, what a crew to do it with.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun, man, because the team is already loaded. And then you're bringing in three incredibly smart lacrosse minds. And the culture, Bill has always done a great job of setting culture. And there are guys who are already familiar with his systems. Like Tucker, who just finished playing in the PLLs, definitely know what these guys are going through, know what it takes to be successful. And I'm just excited for another successful Water Dog season. I don't see them really dropping a beat. Not sure if they take one up, but they're at least going to be par with what they were last year.
So I just looked up Dylan Sheridan here. He allegedly, if this is still accurate, he's the defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator at Princeton. And
okay,
according to his bio on Princeton's website, he was part of the three Final Four appearances in 4 years with Coach Tierney at Denver. And he worked with Tierney in Denver, working first with the face-off specialists and then becoming defensive coordinator there. Denver advanced to the Final Four in 2011, 2013, 2014. Here's a little more on his spot. He is married to Brianne Tierney.
Working for pops-in-law.
For pops.
Okay. I see.
He also played 3 years with the Denver Outlaws in the MLO. So
okay.
Big Denver guy. That's exciting. You know, I think the thing that stands out to me there is he worked with face-off guys, and what's the one thing kind of that is like the one question mark about this Water Dogs roster is the face-off position. You get a face-off guy in there and have somebody who's worked, you know, with that position before. That's a big-time boost nonetheless for the Water Dogs. Still hashtag sign Max Adler, in my opinion, but that would also check out, you know, Denver Outlaw. But yeah, the Water Dogs have a new coach. Should be coming on the show soon. We're working out logistics for that, but I'm very excited to have him on both shows, introduce him to Philly. And then obviously joining the OTB coaching staff. Also, I loved Cope's tweet when the announcement was made. I don't know if you saw it. He said, "What an upgrade."
I did see that. I was like,
I don't know how to respond. I love the subtle jabs at ourselves, Cope. He's the best.
I was like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like, do I like this? Or do I just scroll like I didn't see it? Or do I drop something funny. Like, oh, bro, you're a great. Like,
He's hilarious, man. Like, this is exciting for the, but I am going to miss the fuck out of Andy Copeland, man.
It was so nice getting a fist bump from the man when he walks in, asking us how we're doing.
Like, he's the best.
And the answer is always, he was the most elaborate to the point person I know.
Oh, 100%.
Like, he got to the point, but he somehow elaborated the answer. I could listen to him
talk about anything. He's got such a like calming presence voice.
You get lost in his words.
He's the best. We gotta get him back on here.
After you get your answer, it's kind of like the elaboration, doesn't it?
You're lost in the sauce.
It's just too much. You're like, I don't need this. You already told me what I wanted to hear. And then you just get lost in whatever.
And
you get
so much more. And then it's just like such a valued response.
Yes. Literally exactly that.
I fucking love Cope, man. Bill Tierney press conferences are going to be wild. Like, we get to go to Bill Tierney press conferences now.
Dude. And I get to do that thing I did for Brian last year. Because you know nobody else is going to do it. So how do you feel after your first professional meeting?
You did that for him. You did it for Pressler.
Dude, why does nobody care about how the coach feels? I guess a coach
got... What fuck me for?
Literally. I know that's what they'd be up there thinking. Like, dang, nobody wants to ask about me. Like, I know it's not about me because of the players, but...
Right,
I'm here. I see y'all. Don't worry, I see y'all.
I'm very curious the chess matches that will be had with Bill Tierney as a coach now. Like, who do you think his toughest matchup, coach to coach wise, is going to be of the current PLO coaches? Something tells me him and Towers are going to have fucking wars against each other.
Nah, bro. It's going to be an age thing. Stags.
That was my next one, too.
Whose chest hair is more popping?
He's like, bro. Well, it depends on if Stags is coming in like flow hair or he got that fresh cut. Is he walking in like 2021, letting it go, or is he trimmed up? Got that fresh shape.
We'll find out week one.
I'm thinking about it now too, because New York, Philly, dude, all the old head coaches are in the East.
Yeah, they are.
That's hilarious. Tierney, Holman, Pressler, and Stags are all in the East. And then you got Towers, Nat, Chris Bates, and Sudo.
Sudo's definitely odd man out.
Sudo's the resident old head.
But like, it's just, I don't know. Sudo cool too at the same time.
He's awesome.
Like, I don't even know how to explain it, bro.
He's a how do you do fellow kids old head.
Yeah, bro. I love Sudo, bro.
He's the best. What
did he say? We just played bad or something?
Yeah. He's so funny, bro.
The whole press conference just was like, yeah, we just didn't play good.
We just didn't play just, good.
Oh my god, bro. Stop. Say something else. But like there really was nothing else to say.
It was a wrap.
He's like, that's it? All right, y'all have a good night.
Bro, I didn't tell you on Thursday when I was at the Wings game, they have like an alumni of the game. It was Chris Bates on Thursday. So I go down to the team store where he's like signing autographs and meeting fans and everything. So I'm waiting for like the perfect opportunity. I walk up in between like the break that he has from one person to the next. I was like, what up, celeb? He was like, KB, what's up, brother? It was great. I love Chris Bates, bro.
Check. Eagle. No, Chris Bates is amazing.
Bro, like, when
he's so fun.
Like, he was one of those coaches that, like, I didn't know how he felt about us. And then after the championship this year, it was like, oh, he fucks with us. And
yeah.
It was such a great feeling.
It was so great to hear those words come out of his mouth. I was like,
he's awesome.
Oh, okay. What he's up, so Chris? Great.
He's the best.
I feel like it's first name basis now. What up, Chris? How are you?
What up, twin?
What up, twin? Where have you been?
But shout out to Coach Tierney. Welcome to Philadelphia. Very excited to get him on the show. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we're working on just like logistics and timing and everything. But excited to get him on the show soon. With that, let's do a nice little quick recap. Deej, I'll give you the floor. It's the college recap with Portal Jones.
So before we even get into these scores, I'm going to hit the big board first. I'm a little surprised by some of this. Like, obviously, we knew who was hitting the top right at number one. It was B.O. There was no guessing this. We all knew B.O. was going to be number one. We got Shelly at two, Pat Cav at three, Enty, Liam Entman coming in at four, Ajax Zapatello, arguably the best name in lacrosse right now, coming in at five, Shane Knobloch sneaking in at six. If you don't know about Shane, look him up ASAP. He's the only reason Rutgers is relevant right now. No disrespect to anybody else on the team.
Not to cut you off, Shane, we're working on getting Shane on the pod.
Hey-o. I can't wait. News there. That's actually hype. Don't tell any Michigan lacrosse players I said that. Will Mark coming in at seven. Not the goalie I expected to be here in this place.
I feel good about myself. Remember a couple weeks ago, I forget what game it was, but Will Mark had himself like a game.
Yeah.
And we were like, could he be sneaky, like, you know, late round pickup for a team that like needs a goalie but doesn't need a goalie? We were on that shit before everyone else.
I mean, we're on a lot of stuff before everybody else.
Look at us.
Eight, Jake Pacino, LSM, UAlbany. Shout out to Brian. He's definitely hype about seeing
Brian's definitely here. Got a burner that's like Pacino Stan 46 or something.
I wouldn't even be surprised, bro. JP 88. He's so good, bro.
Pacino Stan 88. That's Brian's burner. Go search that shit. That's what he'd be on Instagram with.
Oh yeah, bro. I can't get on Instagram. It's all 13. No,
yeah, because you got a burner on there commenting like one of them 13-year-olds.
Love you.
Shout
Brian.
Out to the boy. He's the man. We gotta get him on the college draft show.
Yes. That's what we need to do. We'll be hitting you up about that, bro. Nine literally has the California Redwoods screaming all over it. So I hope they don't do it. I repeat, Nat. Don't do it. Eric Dobson, midfield, Notre Dame, number nine. Bro, you seen that kid?
Nah.
Look him up. And not like right now and like tell me. Just respond when you see his measurement. Yeah, Eric Dobson. When you see his measurements and such, let me know. First or second defenseman finally back up. Kenny Brower coming in.
Oh, my God. He's such a Redwood.
See? That's why I said, Nat, don't do it.
I didn't even need to look up his I just saw his headshot.
Bro, look at his measurements. Look at his measurements.
He's perk reincarnated.
Bro, so don't do it. TJ Malone from Penn State at attack coming in at 11. Jake Stevens, who I would like the Redwoods to draft. I repeat, Jake Stevens, midfield out of Syracuse. Another shout out to Brian. He'd like that. Great speed dodger, but also he's very screams Xander Dixon. Super shifty.
Xander!
Can dodge. Very great finisher inside. Nice handles. Like he needs to be in a California Redwoods jersey.
Xander Dixon's name sounds like it should be screamed like how Charmander yells his name in the Pokemon show.
Yeah,
that was for Poolskis. He's gonna love that.
He is gonna love that.
Xander!
We incoming. That's the big board, though, so we can hop over to the good stuff. We can hop over.
You know, I got to reach out to Kark. Since shout out to Kark, followed us on Instagram. We got to get him on here to talk about the draft board. That would be fire.
That would be fire.
Kark's a real one. Followed us on the gram. Not even on Twitter, on Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. You trying to step up the game. You're trying to step up the game. Trine beating Hanover 15-3 makes me want to throw up. York grabs a 10-9 win over Denison. Westminster wins 10-6 over Chatham. Capital coming out with a 2-win dub over Ohio Northern. John Carroll taking care of Muskingum. Good Ohio stuff going on. Mount Union trounces Heidelberg 18-3. Baldwin Wallace over Otterbein 15-10. That conference is going to be spicy this year. St. John Fisher won 28-4 of Akuka. Excuse me? Nazareth 17-9 over Utica. Saturday, of course. My boys, Adrian, took care of business, beating Allegheny 13-8. Albion over Carthage 19-12. It's a good Calvin year. Over North Central 11-8. What'd you say?
You said 19-12. I said it was a good year.
You wild. Lynchburg over Amherst 15-13. RIT over Vassar 30-4.
Shout out Jerry.
Yeah, that was being talked about a lot on the socials. SUNY Brockport over SUNY New Paltz, 13-12 in OT. Ralph Macon over Avert, 26-1. Spalding over Warren Wilson, 23-6. Some of these scores are just disgusting.
These are football scores.
It's just disgusting, dude. Concordia, Wisconsin over MSOE, 9-6. Christopher Newport grabs another win over Montclair State, 12-6. Dickinson over St. Mary's, Maryland, 13-12 in OT. Elmhurst grabbing a dub over the weekend. Salisbury over Keene, 22-13. RPI over Ithaca, 10-9. Kenyon over Wabash, 23-4. D3 ball is so wild, man. Transylvania over Kalamazoo, 15-8. Tufts.
Their mascot has to be fucking vampire.
Yeah. It is actually like bats or whatever.
I was gonna have a fucking outcry if it wasn't.
I know.
Tufts over Colby. Like the fucking Transylvania like rabbits.
The Tufts game was insane. They were down a lot to start this game. I think it was like 9-1 or whatever, and they ended up coming back 17-13. Anything else? No. I wish there was an easier way to look at these things. Bowden over Bates, 16-14. Tufts over. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They handled Colby easily, 17-13. It was Williams. They were down like 9-1. They ended up beating them 17-15. That was just the other night. Wesleyan, Connecticut over Amherst, 12-11. Salisbury, 27-4 over Stockton. They're continuing to absolutely roll.
Stockton, shout out. That's Dom's alma mater.
And let's see if we had anything good happen. Cabrini, 19-3 over Gwynwyn Mercy.
Shout out Maddie Nest.
Marietta in overtime over Mount Union, 10-9. John Carroll, 10-9 over Baldwin Wallace. Lynchburg over Guilford, 21-6. Ohio Northern bounces back, 13-4 dub. Denison over Transylvania, 22-6. Westminster, 23-6, Franciscan. Oh, my. Muskingum beat Wilmington, Ohio, 27-10. to nothing. And right next to that, that's a
football
score. Bro, right next to that, MSOE 26-0 over Concordia Chicago.
That's football. Illinois. Spring football. That's UFL.
Illinois Wesleyan over Dubuque 16-11. Gettysburg over York 15-10. Grove City over St. Vincent. My God, someone check on Diggs 20-5. St. Mary's Maryland over Karen 24-3. Scranton over Lycom 24-6. I didn't even know Scranton was even half decent at lacrosse. And Allegheny over Theo. Allegheny over Theo 23-9. Wrapping up the D3 board. Is there anything relevant to look at D2? Don't think so. Sorry. D1, where the good stuff happens. Let's get back to last week on this handy dandy scoreboard of ours. Loyola Maryland over Lehigh 12-10. Delaware winning big 21-3 over Hampton. Hopkins over my Michigan boys 15-11. But shout out Mikey Bame owning now the Michigan record for points in a career over Josh Sawada. And did you know that his sister is married to the all-time leader of the MCLA team, TJ Yealy? So now both records are a family thing around here, if you know what I'm saying.
Now you know.
Army coming back and getting the best of North Carolina, which was a fantastic game that I got a chance to watch without commercials because I watched it aftermath. Matt Nunes giving a huge boost with a goalie goal and the game was tied.
That
up
was electric.
Over
that
Harvard.
Was so fucking sick. I saw that when I was in the press box on Saturday. That was so dope.
13-10 as they escape with a victory there. Utah over Jacksonville 16-14. Game I was there for. What a phenomenal game it was. Vibes were absolutely going. Dame over Q's 14-12. Wow, was it packed and was it amazing? Penn over Cornell 11-10 in double overtime. That was also a very great game. Quinnipiac staying undefeated, beating Mount 15-10. Ohio State over Rutgers, which absolutely nobody saw coming, 14-8. UAlbany scrapes past UMBC 14-13. Couple goals from JP88 there. Denver squeezes past Villanova just 9-6. Georgetown picking up a conference win over Providence 15-10. St. Joe's 15-7 over High Point. NJIT loses another game as they drop to Bryant 12-8. They're really hitting a skid at this point in the year. Yale over Brown 16-10. Vermont big over Merrimack 20-8. We're into Sunday where Maryland took care of Penn State after coming back. Penn State easily in handle of that game before letting it go. 13-11 Penn State winners. Air Force continues to roll in their conference as they beat Cleveland State 12-9. Last night, things popped off. Princeton over Lehigh 12-10. But the game everybody should have been watching, which I got to watch on replay multiple times now at this point. Syracuse Cornell, a great way to wrap up the week. Because wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I saw the highlights and everything from what happened.
Dude, Syracuse started off on an absolute tear.
I saw like their coach got ejected or something.
And... Yeah. Which I kind of get because they just blatantly missed an onside call, which it ended up leading to a goal. So it's like if you call the call, they don't get the goal. Syracuse probably scores and they're up 8-1 at the end of the first instead of up 7-2 or whatever it was. So it was just like them blatantly missing it. And he probably didn't like the response he got when they came over to explain. So he probably said something and they were like, all right, buddy, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. But the game was absolutely electric back and forth. Syracuse up big. Cornell crawls back in. Syracuse pushes it back out. Cornell crawls back in. Syracuse pushes it out. Cornell ties. Syracuse takes the lead. Cornell comes back, takes the lead. Syracuse ties. We're in overtime. And Cornell ended, of course, with CJ Kirst in double overtime because who else would do it?
You want to talk about somebody whose draft stock is just going through the roof? Not that it already wasn't, but.
I say, yeah, I think it was pretty high, but it's just such a tough climb.
Even more.
Just like his brother, Cole. Cole slipped in a draft that was just heavy. It was just a really tight draft, and it was hard for him to move any higher. The same thing might happen to CJ, and he's going to end up falling into somebody's lap and be in just a great position to be a huge asset to a team. But moving into the weekend, St. John's, Denver, highlighting Friday night, Colgate Army starting things off. Brian and UAlbany should be a pretty fun game. North Carolina, Virginia getting ACC play started up. St. Joe, UMass should be pretty decent as well. Penn State, Jayhawk play. Ohio State and Maryland, Penn and Yale, all taking battle on Saturday. Sunday, we get Notre Dame, Duke, which will be exciting. At noon, that's going to be the early game. And then Rutgers, Michigan, face off at 7 p.m. in Ann Arbor. Still haven't decided if I'm going to make it there for boots on the ground or not. I have to decide if I feel like driving that far and then turning around and driving back that far and going to work the next day. So pending, but Rutgers, Michigan is going to wrap up the week with the exciting news. Yale, Boston will play on Tuesday at a lone game. Wednesday, we got some action next week, but it's all kind of mid-major stuff. Quinnipiac going to look to stay undefeated. Utah, Lindenwood, Manhattan, LIU, Jacksonville, D-Mercy, those kind of action. So, yeah, that's what we got to look forward to for the college game this weekend.
It's going to be a doozy of a time. We'll be all on top of it from everything. So make sure you guys are following us on the socials at Underground PHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/OTBLaxPod. Follow Deej on Twitter at SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the motherfucking pod on Apple and Spotify. It truly does help a ton when you guys subscribe. So keep subscribing. Be a friend to tell a friend to subscribe. And tell everybody that OTB is the best motherfucking lacrosse podcast on the goddamn planet. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It's where you get full video episodes of this show every single week, full video episodes of every show on our network, live streams, shorts, clips, original video content. It's all on the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. We're at 752 subscribers. Let's get to like 765 by next week. Let's make that happen. And of course, subscribe to the OTB YouTube channel, where vlog content will be coming this summer during PLL weekends. YouTube.com/@OTBLaxPod. Get your merch at phiapparel.co. Code underground for 10% off your orders. And this has been episode number 317 of the award nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA ranked. And of course, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse pod on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Enjoy this weekend of lacrosse, and we'll catch you guys next week. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here. We are signing off. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.